you pop in here for a couple minutes, I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
I think over the last 4 days, I have become a hurricane expert.
This is Chicago's News Traffic and Weather Station.
The worst place to be for a hurricane is to be south and east, because that was it turns counterclockwise. The northern part of the hurricane is gonna, which was Tampa, didn't get much rain or much flooding at all from the standpoint of surge. They get the wind. And then when it circles around back out into the Gulf and pulls everything in, now the southern part is getting all the wind and it's getting the water pushed up. That's where the surge comes from. You're watching this thing. You're trying to see how close it is, how many miles, you know, what's the wind velocity? What's it going to be? What category when it hits the water? There's a lot that if you really, you know, get into this stuff, it makes a difference.
Time for a look at sports. Here's 6-7 The Score's Chris Emma.
Form is something tall and strong. They get a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
Yes, it is, and that means that Dave Wonstadt is here. This segment is being brought to you by Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. Dave Wonstadt every Thursday at 5:00, and this week, we get the joy of one of the premier, one of the best ever offensive line coaches in the world. Tony Wise is here as well, rocking his Oklahoma State Cowboys shirt. And so I just want to paint the picture for
and
people.
Cheering on the Yankees.
Well, Coach, that's what I wanted to get to. So we got two great football minds in here. We had two guys that we can't wait to break down football tape with. What do we end up talking about during the break? Baseball and basketball with these two guys, and I loved every single minute of it.
College basketball.
That's right.
Pitt. Big East basketball.
Pitt basketball. Well, because who wasn't watching the Big East back in the day? You know, I was watching the night when Jerome Lane broke the backboard, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But yeah, Tony Wise is watching the Yankees and rooting for the Yankees. I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt and it all turned into that.
You're coming to blows.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the other part of what happened here. Speaks couldn't wait to show Tony Wise his Dave Roberts shirt from the last segment of the show.
Well, I know that Tony would appreciate it as a sports enthusiast. And you're right. One of the great offensive line coaches of all time. Can't wait to talk O-line with
Hold on. We're not done with this. Tony, tell the people what you said to Spiegs when he told you where he grew up.
He said, I grew up in Jersey. I said, well, that makes no sense.
That my dad chose the Red Sox.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because he chose a loser franchise, right?
Well, just the fact it was a long way away and you had going down the street and when you're in sixth grade with a Red Sox shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wanted to rebel against his dad.
Okay.
You know? So it's that kind of thing. Yeah. So you got to, every once in a while, you got to rebel against the parents in terms of sports fandom.
Tony's having coffee when? Tomorrow with Olin?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Meeting Olin tomorrow, you know, for coffee.
Oh, great.
So what's that conversation like, Tony, when you and Olin get together?
Well, he's got his boys playing at Illinois. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's coaching. Okay. So we talk a little bit about that. And, you know, he'll say, God, they won't listen. And I said, yeah, welcome to the club. And then we'll reminisce about Big Cat and Todd Perry and various things. Yeah, we have a good time. Yeah.
He had quite the week. And something you can bring up to him because he talked about it on the air. The boys had their game. He had a game that he coached Friday night. The boys had their great game Saturday. His wife ran the marathon on Sunday.
Thank you. I was not aware of that. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a pretty.
Yeah. He got a lot going on.
Packed weekend for sure.
Yes.
And you know what else? Not to jump here, but
I want to get into Pat Manley's comment. Was he on with you guys or the morning show?
He was on with us when he talked about the special teams player of the week.
Great interview. I thought Manley was great. Tony and I were together, right? Yeah. T, listened to it. And did you ever have a center that do we ever lose a long snapper or backup center had to go in or anything, though?
I got to say no.
Yeah.
I got to say no.
I couldn't remember one either. I told you about the return guy. I had Wes Welker. When we were playing,
we lost
our kicker, and he had a kick. And in fact, Wes Welker was our receiver at the Dolphins. And Lindo Mari, to this day, I don't know what the hell happened, but he came up to me right before the game and says, "Coach, I can't kick." So I called the team up, and I says, "Anybody here can kick?" And Wes put his hand up and said, "I did some of it as a backup at Texas Tech." I said, "You're our kicker. Get ready." So he kicked extra points, he kicked off, he kicked field goals.
See, that's a beautiful thing when that happens, because, I mean, you're bound to have somebody on the roster who can step up. And then, I mean, we loved seeing Caleb celebrating Cole Kmet's snaps. Like, all the players celebrating when somebody steps up. It's got to do a lot for the team chemistry in some ways.
And I mean, hey, Cole, I'm a fan of his. You know, his dad, actually, Tony, we coached his dad. At the Bears. His dad was
Frank.
He was a defensive lineman, and he came in, obviously, from Purdue, and we signed him late. He was with someplace else and then joined us, and then we moved him to offensive line, okay? With what we were doing on defense, it wasn't a perfect fit. Tony loved him. Tony said, "He's tough as nails. I'll take him." And then he screwed up his ankle or knee, didn't he, Tony, or something? I can't remember what. And then, it didn't work out. But, yeah, so we coached his dad. And so I'm a fan of his, but I do agree with Pat. There had to be some guy that just threw his body in there, made three tackles, and caused a fumble on a kickoff somewhere.
There's some gunner that's like, "What happened?
Yeah,
I was actually deserving. They've never given this award."
I gotta agree with Pat, man. I gotta agree with Pat on that one. Come on, I mean, geez, oh man. And Pat never got it.
Never.
A long snapper's never gotten it before.
As good as ever has been in the league. That's hilarious. Yeah.
It's something.
We just assume it's like a guy hitting a 9-iron. We just assume that the ball's going to be shot back there.
That it's going to end up on the green, and you're going to end up in a great spot.
Thank you.
And you take it for granted until you lose that guy. Do you remember who your backup long snappers were?
Well, there were guys just like Kmet. I mean, there were guys that played a position. And
Ryan Wetnight.
Might have been Jay Lewenberg.
Ryan Wetnight could do it. When we were at Pitt, I'll give you one on a national championship team. Our backup snapper was our quarterback, Matt Kavanaugh. Who was the MVP in the Sugar Bowl when we won the national championship. But Matt was our backup. He was our starting quarterback, obviously.
Long-time NFL quarterback long-time NFL coach.
Yeah, about six Super Bowl rings or something. But he was our backup long snapper.
Speaks, that's what I was telling you. I was talking about some high school experience, and I was saying that if you were a quarterback at HF, you were taught.
Yep.
And usually the quarterbacks were using the one-handed snap technique instead of firing both. But the coach's rationale was, it's a pass between your legs. That's why the quarterbacks would be in
Tony?
That.
That's why it's difficult to teach an offensive lineman, because they can't throw.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sure, they've never done that.
Whereas a guy like Kmet, at some point when he was in junior high, might have been a quarterback.
Hey, Tony, Tony, question.
Let me interrupt one thing.
Please.
Because Pat...
It's your dime, your dance floor, baby.
Pat has got a great story when we first got here. We're out practicing. Now, remember, Kat's the right tackle, and Chris Valero's the right guard, and we're running the ball. So Pat remembers at practice, we had to have a guy hold the shield. So Pat is the long snapper, and he's holding the shield. Now, you got Kat at 315. And Chris at 305. And Pat tells a story. He's, all right, set hut. They come off, and they just waylay the living daylights out of him. And Pat says, I didn't think it was good enough. I says, come back, do that again. And Pat is laughing. He says, I'm picking grass out of my helmet. Anyway, absolutely hilarious.
Tony Wise is here with us, along with Dave Wanstead on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We were talking about possible Bears trades because it's become more active now that they'll make trades in the season for a piece. Tony, if indeed it were even available, could you incorporate a left tackle?
No.
Asked and answered, counselor.
Into your offensive line in the middle of a year.
You're not going to get one.
Right. That was Lawrence's point.
Okay. Number one, you're not going to get one.
But what if you got one?
They can play, right?
Right. They can play. Okay. So you got one. And as I think Dave would agree that the reason you got him is because he's a bad guy. So he comes on your squad. And not that the snap count is that much different, but there are some little things about it. And then I'd run and hide.
Really?
I'd get in the car and leave.
What if he's not a bad guy? What if it was about a contract situation? It was a team that wasn't going anywhere and they just wanted to get whatever
they
could.
You're pointing a wonderful picture. He comes on the team and now we got 3 days in without pads. Remember now, this is a non-pad week.
Yep.
So we got 3 days without pads on, and okay, boy, that was good. Boy, that was good. You know, we're all kind of doing this during practice. Oh, boy. And then Dave turns to me and says, Tony, what do you think? I says, I got no idea. We you know, nothing was full speed. Now, I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. Are we away? Is it on turf? Okay, are we in the Metrodome where we can't hear? Okay, and boy, there's a lot of things. Obviously,
too many to work out. Like I mean,
the guy he would replace, in my opinion, would have to be disgusting.
It'd have to be like Orlando Pace is coming out there and playing. And Braxton Jones is just falling on his face.
Well, yeah, the guys who brought up a name today, we were doing a show with Dan Hampton, and he was bringing up, help me out here, the big tackle, the all-pro tackle, back to Green Bay. Was with Green Bay.
Yes. David Bakhtiari.
Yes.
Yes, David Bakhtiari, that he, oh yeah, people are talking about trying to get him signed now.
Right.
Okay. Dallas, for example. You know, the guy they had was just got beat bad by the Jets 2 or 3 times. Well, now you're getting a guy, and Tony, you probably agree, that's a good player, good guy, but the health is a problem, right?
Okay, but then I'm going to give you another one. Is he coming off the street, or is he coming from another team? Because coming off the street, again, does us no good, right? He's been out running drills. His agent's been running drills for him. Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, God, you look wonderful. And Ryan Pace calls, and or who's the GM?
It's Ryan Poles.
Now, yeah. Ryan Poles, upstate New York. Okay, so he says, what do you think to the agent? Oh, he looks fantastic. Oh, okay, fine. Now, if he comes from the other team and I got to see film of him.
You can make some corrections on things that you need. You can try to figure out terminology stuff. You've got a scouting report to work with.
Now, the other thing, I'd be on the phone to that line coach. And I would say to him, look, between you and I, why are you doing this?
That's interesting stuff. I want to go back to something you just said. That the guy he's got to be replacing would have to be disgusting. You mean like so? If somebody is bad, you can still work with him. Like,
well,
would
yes.
you? Would you prefer
oh, God,
to work
yes.
with somebody who's bad?
Oh, yeah.
Than somebody new.
Let me just let me throw this in.
Yeah.
So and it's all in the what's that expression? It's all in the eyes
eye
of the beholder, right?
Uh huh.
We were in our first year and we were bad at the Cowboys, right?
Yes.
And Tony had a guy that wasn't very good. I can't remember his name at a spot. And whoever our center was. And when
Tom Rafferty.
And he was at the end, but Tony, he was a great player. You know, Penn State guy, I think. You know, I mean, great player for them. And Tony loved working with him, and he was just the guy he wanted to coach. and Mark Stepnowski was his backup. Wasn't that the game?
Yes.
So we get whipped by somebody, and Jimmy gets about six Heinekens in him, and he walks back on the plane, and he gets 2 inches, correct me if I'm wrong, go ahead, 2 inches from your ear, go ahead, Tony.
No, 2 inches from my face.
Yeah, yes. Go ahead. And
just said, "Well, go. You tell the story."
Well, he says, "Tony, Mark Stepnowski is starting this week, or you're fired." And he went and sat down, and that was
yes.
Wasn't that the story?
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
So, you know,
good choice.
So, but Tony was content to work with the guy and bring until Stepnowski came along. Correct? Or
yeah,
no?
You're right. You're 100% right.
And it happened with Alan Weingard, didn't it?
The guy it happened to was Eric Williams.
Yeah.
That's the guy it happened to, was Eric Williams.
And that was a tackle, right? Or
yes.
Something?
So, I mean, I don't see...
Was it
here's
six
my
Heine- It was six...
I don't
wait,
know if
six...
anybody even knows Eric Williams.
Wasn't it six...
Does anybody remember Eric
Absolutely.
Williams?
Absolutely.
Oh, they do? Okay.
A tremendous...
Oh,
sure.
A few guys right. that blocked Reggie
all right.
White.
All right.
Yeah.
So
Tony,
Eric,
Tony.
Eric,
go
with,
ahead.
A, Eric
go
with a K. Williams.
So Eric Williams.
Great. Yeah.
Eric Williams from Central State. And Jim McNally and I went up to work him out. And he was... he was blocking guys this high, okay? Mm. But he tried to murder him, and that's what stood out. So I came back, and we do the evaluation. I was big into that, guys trying to murder guys. So I said on the report, I said—
Not literally, to be clear.
Right, right. Told the listeners.
He means it in football yeah. terms.
Yes.
We're with you, coach.
Thank you.
Doing your
thank
thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Nobody has my email, so we're okay with that. So the first guy is holding out, Tony Tolbert. Wrap your arms. Training camp, first guy's holding out.
Hmm.
So Nate is blocking a second team guy. Then Eric would come in, and he's blocking a third team guy or a walk-on. So Jimmy was on me. He just saw him try to kill people. He said, Tony, all I do is watch Eric killing people. I says, Coach, you know, Dave is right. Well, it's a third-team guy, and he's a walk-on. He's Tony. I don't care. He's trying to kill him. So anyway, that was when Jimmy says, Tony, I've had enough. I don't care where he goes. But tomorrow morning at 7, Eric Williams is in the starting lineup. So I
signed off.
And said, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And he had a pretty damn good career.
Yes. Turned out okay. Dave, we played back something from you earlier this week. It was just phenomenal. Like, when Speaks and I heard it, we both were like, we have to play that. And it was your description of the first Cole Kmet touchdown. You were talking with Mully and Haw about everything that went into the fake. And what I thought was great, and Speaks pointed this out, hearing you describe it from the standpoint of a defensive player, and what all that offensive window dressing
faking a screen left, faking a screen right.
And the way that the linebacker just froze, and he was just kind of like, something's wrong, but I can't quite figure out what's going on. And then Cole Kmet goes streaking down the middle of the field. What was it about that play that you loved?
Well, the design, number one, as I said, it was a well-designed play, but it was a good play versus a too-deep coverage. You don't run that play versus a single high with a safety in the middle, if you know what I mean. I know you do. Because now Kmet's going to run into the safety. So you want it to be, and most teams, when they get in the red zone area from the 30 in, they like to play that too deep. Because even if you run the ball down there, your safeties are close enough to the line of scrimmage that they can help support the run. So you'll see a little bit more of the too deep down there. Now, with that being said, it helps the run, but it hurts the pass, because now a quick pass, those guys are playing halves of the field, no one's in the middle, and it's very difficult for that safety to go from outside to get to the middle. Okay, so now they draw up the play where they're going to run a screen, fake a screen, a bubble screen to the receiver to the left, fake a screen to the running back on the right. Kmet bangs the guy a little bit like he's blocking for the screen, and he sneaks down the middle of the field. The guy that makes screens go, I don't care if it's a tailback screen, that screen is the quarterback. The quarterback is the guy that sets the screen up. And Brett Favre was the best maybe that's ever played the game of running screens. And sometimes Brett Favre would drop back, guys, 15 to 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage waiting for the back to get open. And if he wasn't open, he'd throw it in the dirt and it'd be an incomplete pass. So my point is Caleb Williams did a phenomenal job of looking to the left. When he looked to the left and designed the play, the linemen were releasing to the left. Guess what all the linebackers and the safety did? They started working to the left. Then Caleb back and with the ball, and he looked to the back on the right. The linebackers, everybody moves that way in the safety. So when he hits Komet, you know, it was just run down there. I mean, it was a great setup. Caleb made that play go. It was a great design by the offensive coordinator, but Caleb set that thing up. You can't lose sight of that. If he's looking at Komet the whole time, it's not a play.
And because of the fakes of both sides, you have both safeties farther out than what they would have been when the play starts.
They couldn't get there to stop it and bang, you know, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. No, it was a great design for that area of the field. They caught him in the right defense. But Caleb Williams, guys, with his eyes, set the whole damn thing up.
And when you got a quarterback who cares enough about all those little things and will set up every little thing in the sixth game of his life in the NFL, it's an awfully good sign, isn't it?
Oh, he's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Cowherd this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, "Where's this kid?" I says, "The guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence. He gets it."
To
say in the post game one time, I knew I didn't really. They said, "Well, you didn't have any big plays. His longest pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen a couple weeks ago."
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was the Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, "Well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and my punter, the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
plus yards."
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. It's crazy good. Best ever. And he said, "So I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field." I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says, guys.
That's awareness for sure. When we come back, Dave's going to give you his pick four for Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Dave Wanstead, Tony Wise, Spiegel and Holmes here with you on The Score.
Dave Wanstead.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Awesome football talk with Dave Wanstead and Tony Wise continuing through the break. That stuff from Coach Wanstead before the break about Caleb, and it's just it's the feeling that's permeating this entire town that we finally got one. The way you guys talk about how Brett Favre dominated and how beautifully he played, Coach, there's a feeling that about Caleb that's kind of it's permeating all the Bears talk all over town, isn't it?
And it should. I mean, the guy is basically every week, you know, learning, he's getting better. There's gonna be games. I mean, you know, we were with Troy Aikman when he was a rookie. I mean, there's gonna be games where, for whatever reason, Caleb goes out there and throws a couple interceptions and stuff. But we can't panic because we know that that stuff happens to the very best of them, right?
Yeah.
So, but as far as the progress that he's making and the leadership that he's shown and he fitting in with the team, being a team guy. I mean, boy, I mean, Ryan Poles, give him credit. He did a great job. And I know he was the first pick in a draft, but you still got to make the right evaluation. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, Tony, you're impressed, right?
Oh, no, Tony, No,
look, I am extremely pragmatic because of the position I coached. It was black and white. So all I'm saying is I'm doing backflips for the Bears, but he was the number one pick in the draft.
Was.
That it's okay to expect this because he was the number one pick in the draft.
In my opinion.
That's fair. And it's nice to see how everything has kind of come along for him so far, and hopefully it continues. The city's just so much better when the Bears win.
Yes.
You guys know.
Yes.
Well,
I hate to say it
because I was a Justin Fields fan because as tough as he was and everything, but you know, I mean, why is Mike Tomlin going to probably make a switch this week? You know what I mean? It's
he's going to make a switch because he's got a higher ceiling with Russell Wilson, in my opinion.
He thinks he does.
You don't think he does?
I don't. I'm not. From what I've seen with Russell the last couple of years, I'm not convinced of it. I'm not 100% convinced. Now, there is a ceiling with Justin. I think we all agree with that. But You know, yeah, I mean, I get what he's going, but I don't know. Maybe I just, my feelings for Justin Fields because everything he laid on the line for the Bears and us here that
10 touchdowns, you know, 5 passing, 5 rushing, 1 interception. He's played very responsible football this year.
Yeah,
for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens Sunday night. I bet the Jets, but that's another story.
Because Devontae's all of a sudden magically healthy and ready to go? You bet the Jets?
Well, no. Yes, he's bringing a spark to him, and I think this new offensive coordinator will run the damn ball. How do you have Aaron Rodgers in your drop-back passing 68% of the time, one of the most in the NFL, and your play-action passes are one of the least? That's not good decision-making coaching, in my opinion.
Well, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will blame himself at some point for some part of it. Never, right? Never. What do you do when your quarterback is that guy who's got no thumbs? What do you do as a head coach when that's the case?
Just keep getting them players and hope it's going to click. I think they're going to win this week and they're going to get on a roll.
Dave, how was your history with quarterbacks when you were a coach?
Six years here at the Bears and 6 quarterbacks, coach. What else? 6 years here and 6 different quarterbacks starting. How's that sound?
Not good, buddy.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Not good at all.
What else you want to know?
Well, he
Eric
does.
Kramer got his neck broke. We all know.
Yes, Eric Kramer. Yeah, Eric Kramer. Mm-hmm. Then Jay Fiedler. We were the best team in football. We were 6-0. We beat
I wasn't here, coach.
On a Sunday night game, I was at the Dolphins. We beat Denver out there. Uh-huh. And I'm in the shower drinking a beer, an icy light canny. And the doctor walks in and says, Jay broke his thumb. He's out 6 weeks. You know, we lose 2 or 3 of those games with our backup. And, you know, we go 10-6 and never recover.
Stupid quarterbacks. Am I right, coach?
Should have been a wishbone coach. Then I wouldn't have to worry about that.
should have been Tom Osborne.
I should have put in the wishbone the first time I got a head coaching job. Yep. Tom Osborne, Barry Switzer.
Right.
Come on, Spade.
Some of it, Jamel Holloway. All right.
Dave, earlier we were talking about Larry Fitzgerald because mm-hmm. we started talking about the Bears Cardinals game in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
What do you remember about Larry?
Oh, God. Oh, you know what remind about Larry? When I first took the job, Larry had just left, okay? And I'm watching I'm watching the quarterback, Tyler Pelko, who I love, okay? Tyler's a great guy. And I'm watching Tyler, and I'm saying, and everyone's telling me that he's the next coming of Dan Marino. And I'm
yeah, you call them crazy, but they were
excited.
And
he had all the numbers, and I said, I got to see this myself. So Matt Cavanaugh, who was our offensive coordinator at Pitt, Tony was there. Matt and I sit down, and I said, I'm going to watch this guy. So we go through every touchdown that Tyler Pelko threw. And I swear, if there was, let's just say that there were 30. If there were 30, 25 of them were to Larry, which is fine, but he was double covered. And Tyler just threw the ball up, and Larry jumped everybody and body positioned and came down with the ball.
Larry and Fitzgerald, the best ever at Guagi, at Go Up and Get It.
Oh, coach.
The best.
He size, speed, smarts. No, he got it. And, so I kind of.
I interrupted you. You're watching Tyler Pelko. And
yeah,
Larry's
but so that gave me a little different opinion of Tyler. And sure enough, about the second game of the season, he threw 6 picks, and the guy he was thrown to was 5'10", and it wasn't 6'3", Larry Fitzgerald. It didn't work the same.
You guys can call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Pelko tonight.
Yeah, Jaworski was crazy that night. Yeah.
Well, Tyler had a nice career now, Pitt, and he played a couple years, hung around in the NFL. Great guy, doing very successful right now. Him and his wife and kids, he's doing good.
Tony Wise is here. He was the offensive line coach just about everywhere that you and Jimmy Johnson were together. Coach Tony, a couple questions for our listeners. You're a big hockey guy. You excited about Connor Bedard and these Blackhawks?
Yes, I am. He's a player, and I'm very excited about him, yes.
Okay, good. And then what movies are you watching these days? Your tastes are legendary in terms of very old Westerns.
Well, Turner Classic Movies just had their, because of the elections coming up, a month on best political movies.
Oh.
Okay? So I know this will not resonate, but...
resonate with some. Manchurian Candidate?
Oh, the, yes. And then Z was on the other night, which is one of the all-time greats. And then the other day was A Face in the Crowd with...
Walter Matthau?
Yes, he's in it. Yes.
Chris Tannehill for the win. Yes. It's a young Walter Matthau, too.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So,
but he's... he. Now, Tony had, you know, this summer, he every year he goes away for a hockey weekend up at his friend's cabin. Tell him that story.
Well, I'm very fortunate. There are a couple guys that were here. Barry Smith coached here. He and I played together in college, okay? Football, hockey, and lacrosse. Anyway, and through him, this was one of my most wonderful memories of this town. Is that obviously back then because whatever, it's Blackhawks, Red Wings.
Uh-huh.
So Smitty and Scotty at the Red Wings.
Bowman.
Scotty Bowman.
Probert and obviously back in those days, right? Okay. So they're coming in town and Smitty says, meet us down there. And they stayed at the Drake all the time. So my finest memory, I got to know him a little bit. And I'm sitting at the bench on the steps up the Drake. And they get off the bus. Mickey Redmond's off first. And here comes Scotty up the stairs. And he says, hi, Tony, how you doing? And sits down on the bench with me.
Oh, come on. Scotty Bowman is like one of the greatest hockey minds of all time.
So every summer.
Well, listen, here's the story. Go ahead.
So every summer, he's got a child or a boy that's special needs. And because of his time at Buffalo, anyway, he's in a home in there in Buffalo. So he stays there. So we go up in my buddy's lake house, and he comes over, and I get to sit next to him, and he's as sharp as a tack.
Wow.
This and was this all I a couple do is months sit- ago.
3 hours.
Oh.
And talk to Scotty Bowman about hockey.
That's a dream for you.
A dream.
That's amazing.
A complete dream.
How cool is
that? Who else is there? Anybody else is hockey?
Well, just, you know, all my Ithaca buddies. Yeah. But, I mean, it's...
it's hockey royalty right there.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I can listen to you guys tell stories all day.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Scotty Bum was like a football coach, right? Coaching hockey, Tony, would you say that? I mean...
All right. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest stories I've ever heard my entire life.
Okay.
They come in town, and I'm all excited. Come on. So we get on to Gibson's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Smitty, Dave Lewis, coach of defensemen, and then the masseuse that got killed in the accident. Okay, in the limo accident. Anyway, we're at Gibson's. We're shooting a breeze going back, and they're arguing about who's got to go in on the third line. Whatever. Okay, fine. So they're talking about ice time. So Scotty goes, let me give you an ice time story. A kid at the Canadians, 70s obviously, comes in and says, Coach, I want more ice time. He says, okay, fine, we'll give you more ice time. Let's go through the thing. We got 3 periods, 20 minutes a period. What do you got, 60 minutes? Okay, let's go. Let's start with Dryden. Dryden going to get 60? Oh, yeah, Dryden. Okay, what do you think, LaFleur? LaFleur's got, oh, yeah, yeah. Steve Shutt, what are you? Oh, yeah, I got a Larry Robinson. Okay, fine. He went through the whole lineup. He says, you got a minute 10.
I hope the kid made the most of the minute 10. Unbelievable.
Coach, you ready for your picks?
I'm ready for my picks. Let's do it.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wonstead.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
Okay, I'm going to start off with, I tell you, I'm on Cincinnati. They were good to me last week. They play Cleveland. I know they're giving some points, but that's fine. I mean, Cincinnati is hot. Cleveland lost their receiver. So let's go Cincinnati. I'm also going to go Atlanta, and I'm going to give Seattle 3. Atlanta's playing at home. I just think that they got a nice combination going now with Bijan Robinson and Kirk Cousins with the play action. I like Atlanta. I'm going with the Jets, people. Yep, the Jets are going to Pittsburgh. Terrible towels will be out, but I just think this is a shot in the arm for the Jets. And with Devontae Adams and company, they come alive. And my last one, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm taking Philadelphia. They're going on the road. They're giving the Giants 3 points. Saquon Barkley will be back this week for the Eagles. He's going back home to the Giants. I think he shows up and shows up big.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wannstedt. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Gentlemen, this was a delight. We truly appreciate you guys' time. Tony, when you come back, we need to talk about a television show called Tulsa King with Sylvester
Stallone. I love it.
You've watched it?
Of course I do.
So great, right?
Yeah, I love it.
We got to get him in the group chat, Tanny.
So I'm watching Chicago Fire last night. We get home from dinner, and I said, do you like this? And he says, I don't watch TV. He says, I don't watch anything except sports and movies.
Apparently. Well, it's Sylvester Stallone, though, you know?
He made the cut. He's into broadcast TV.
Well, I like Chicago. I was in Chicago Fire. I watch it. I'm loyal.
They paid him. They gave him a check. He watches it forever.
Still getting checks.
Oh, wow.
Coach, my buddy Phil Donlin is playing the new lieutenant on Chicago Fire. Wow. You got to meet that guy.
PD, that's my next goal, PD.
Got to get you on there.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Let's get Wani there. Dave Wannstedt and Tony Wise. We'll get Tony on there, too, on the Spiegelman Holmes show.
That would be awesome.
Let's do it.
Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Coaching, right? Everyone's calling me a moron. Now I get a microphone in front of me. Everyone calls me an expert.
That was fun.
That was Chicago Fire. Tanny, come. Yeah. Tanny's always. How do you do that?
He's always all over it. We're going to take a break. We say goodbye to the guys. Back after this on The Score.
What can I do for you, man?
You know what? Really craving nacho fries. You guys got any of those?
Ads are working.
I don't know what you're talking about. What ads?
Oh, like all the pictures I put over here in your bedroom. Oh, I put that there.
That's from a great Taco Bell commercial where the Taco Bell was installed in Devontae Adams' house, which is, I would assume, a house he had where he used to play football in Las Vegas.
Yeah, in Las Vegas. So Taco Bell jumped on this because a lot of fans of Taco Bell and Devontae Adams were like, well, wait a minute. What happens to the Taco Bell now that he's going to go play for the Jets? So Taco Bell put an ad out like he was on Zillow saying that they know of a place that's for sale. And it says 8 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, 7,421 square feet on a 13,792 square foot lot. Imagine waking up to the smell of Crunch Wraps every single morning. Welcome to your new dream home. Because guess what? You finally do have a Taco Bell at home. This property boasts of a luxurious 8-bed, 10-bathroom, and fully functioning Taco Bell. Fire sauce packets will come in every drawer. The house comes equipped with a full-time employee.
Todd!
That's really well-done marketing. Can I just pass along another piece of really well-done marketing?
Sure, because you love when brands actually get smart and have some fun with stuff like this.
Once I found the baseball game last night, because that was the whole thing, and then I find it, and then I'm like, oh, the Mets are at home playing the Dodgers. And I'm looking on the backdrop, and there's a Shohei Ohtani Beats ad that came up while the Mets were up at bat.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm sitting there going, is that in stadium or is that Fox?
I think it's all
digital,
virtual and all digital now. And I assume that, yeah, so it's definitely Fox doing it. But whatever the guidelines are, you'd think that, like, the team that's playing wouldn't necessarily allow it, right?
It was a very interesting moment. I'd be like, I think that's Shohei. And it was. It's the show. And it's brilliant. Like, that's brilliant marketing of the best player who is playing in this game has a spotlight put on him while the Mets are up to bat.
Have you ever seen a home run hit higher above the foul pole than that one last night?
No.
I once saw Tony Armas hit a home run off Ron Guidry in Old Yankee Stadium off the top of the left field foul pole.
I tell you what. That's a wrap. Hawk saw that too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Man, this was a fun show. Went by very quickly. Thanks to Dave Wonstedt and Tony Wise for being here. Thanks to Joe Cowley for jumping on the show today.
Oh, man, that was something.
Yeah.
That was shrapnel for all.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah, probably.
But, all right, it's fine. We love Joe. Joe says stuff sometimes. And we appreciate hanging out with you and talking about all sorts of stuff. Our Friday show is going to be jam-packed. We are going to have some fun on it, so make sure that you are here for it.
Mm-hmm.
For Tanny, for Shane, for Speaks, yep. I'm Lauren saying we appreciate the love that you show us. We will try to share that love back tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock on Spiegel & Holmes.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.